Blog Talk Radio.
Shabbat shalom, brothers and sisters. Welcome to another edition of the Glory Mountain Shabbat Show, brought to you by the Social Change Action Network here on Blog Talk Radio. Let's go before our Father in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this being another day, another Shabbat, and you've allowed us to experience and to witness. And we honor you and esteem you for holy, separated is your great name, Yahuwah. We lift up your name, we glorify you, and we honor you. And we thank you for everything that you've given us. And we not only praise you for the things you've done, but we praise you just for who you are, as being your people that are called out according to your purpose. But this is a day that you have made, and you've called upon us to rejoice. We know there's no good thing you'll withhold from us, and that you will supply all of our needs according to your riches and glory. So we acknowledge you to direct our path and to be with us, to lead us and guide us. May the words of our mouth and meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight. Reignite that spirit, stir up the gift that's in us. Forgive us for our transgressions, our sins, anything and everything in us that's not like you. Take that out and renew a right spirit within us and restore the joy of salvation on a continual basis, that we may look forward to things that you have for us, and we'll seek first your kingdom and all of its righteousness, and not these worldly things that Satan and man tries to offer, and that we won't get caught up in the fray of this carnal world and this life, and that we'll build up riches in the kingdom in heaven, that our lives might be lost, hid in you, with you, because of the sacrifice of our brother and our Messiah, Yahushua HaMashiach. Father, I'm asking that you give deliverance, give freedom, give joy, give hope, give victory to your people as we endeavor to encourage and exhort one another and pull each other up, pull each other through until we get to that time, to that place, to that hour, to that season. We know you're able. We know you're capable. May your will continuously be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, we want to thank you in advance, and it's in the name of Christ, Yahushua HaMashiach, our Savior, that we pray. Hallelujah. I want to thank you for tuning in. I'm your host, V, the Preacher, and this is, of course, a wonderful time, but we're living in exciting times. Everyone's jumping on the bandwagon to be able to contribute to what they perceive or they may foresee happening in and around our world, our lives. The canvas is changing, brothers and sisters. It is definitely changing. And things are beginning to look strange to everybody. So we have skepticism running amok because you've been taught lies. You've been reading from an old newspaper, and some of you have been doing no studying yourself. So fear has gripped you. And anything you see that's new, true, and revelational, you have a hard time stepping into, because change is one of the hardest things for mankind to do, because change also prompts fear in most people, because most people don't want to come outside the circle or bubble that they exist in, because there's security and there's comfort there and to stick with what you always know. But when you come into this thing with our Father, he's always pushing you into new realms, and his spirit is leading you and guiding you into truth, which demands that you let go of self, familiarity, and the security blanket that you call what I can control. And when you come into Christ, there is no control. You die out to the flesh, and your life is like a wind as the spirit leads you and guides you, because through that you establish your trust, your unwavering faith in the Father, his word, and his will for your life. I've always told people that there's been times that you thought things were going to spiral out of control, but when you look back over your life, you realize that you made it through and that maybe those things weren't so big. But it's when you're in the fray, when you're in the midst of the fire, that you tend to have the most doubt. As I said once before, that you know, one door closes, another one opens, but there's hell in the hallway. And not too many of us are built with the fortitude or the resiliency to be able to endure the afflictions and to be able to stand and to go through the hell, go through the fire, and be purged. Brothers and sisters, are you willing to stand? I welcome you once again to Go Glory Mountains Shabbat Show. And this is a time that is known as a Feast of Trumpets. Feast of Trumpets. This would more so be considered in the Hebrew civil calendar. This time took place in between September and October. It was the first month of the civil year. The civil calendar for the Hebrews was an official calendar for kings, childbirth, and contracts that they would use, and that was known as Tishri. But also, this was the seventh month of the spiritual calendar, the sacred calendar. As Hebrews, we kept two calendars. The sacred calendar was for our festivals. You know, it was from which how we determined the festivals, the times that the Father gave us, or the celebrations in Him. Not your Christmas pagan celebrations, your Passover, Easter celebrations. Passover is of Him, but it's not during that time. Your paganistic Easter celebrations, and definitely not Halloween. Don't even come near me with that. And Christmas, where you're worshiping Nimrod and Tammuz, not those celebrations. Those are paganistic. Those practices, the Father frowns upon them. He had His own festivals and time of celebrations. And it's important to note, some people say, oh, you think you're Jewish. No, I'm not Jewish, because they are into sorcery, witchcraft, the Kabbalah, and the Talmud, which are evil books, and they practice human sacrifices. No, we are Hebrew people by descent, because the Hebrews were scattered, lost their nation, lost their ability to be able to defend themselves. And as you think about it, we as a people don't have a land, don't have anybody to fight for us, to defend for us, don't have our heritage. We are of those people that the Father defends and takes care of. And you have to look at what Apostle Paul, Apostle Shaul, said in the book of Colossians 2:16-17. Festivals and celebrations were a shadow of things to come through Christ. Look at it again, Colossians 2:16-17. Festivals and celebrations were a shadow of things to come through Christ, not just during His time, but the things that are to come when He returns for His people. So this is why it's good to look at these seasons and times so that you can see how the Father moved and what was to take place during some of these celebrations. This is not my lesson for the day, but since it is this time of the Feast of Trumpets, I want to give you some background information. Because in the autumn of the year and on the first day of Tishri Moon, trumpets are blown to announce the Hebrew holiday of Rosh Hashanah, more so known as the Feast of Trumpets. Now, this was the fifth of seven feasts for Israel, and it established the ultimate new covenant fulfillment of a future for Hebrew people. It was a spectacular festival because the feast would explode into holy history, and it was a blockbuster for the people of that time, because Moses declared and prophesied that it would become a memorial of blowing of the trumpets. And you can find out more about the blowing of the trumpets, Feast of Trumpets, in Leviticus 23:24-25. So since my lesson is not on that, I'm not going to get deep into that, but you can look that up. And once again, this being the first month of the civil year for Hebrews and the seventh month of the sacred year, the calendars that God established. And this is why we have so many people trying to predict the years and the times and saying we're going into 2012, the Mayan calendar. Don't pay attention to that. Keep yourself rooted and grounded in the Word with our Father. Look at these times. Look at these types and shadows. And push yourself into studying the Word and knowing His truth. Hallelujah. This show, I didn't get a chance to retitle it the way I wanted to. But we're getting ready to embark upon a series of teachings to debunk the myth and this theory that there was 400 years of silence from heaven in between the Old Testament and New Testament. And a lot of people don't know the history of what transpired before the documentation of the New Testament, which was written in Hebrew because those disciples in Christ were Hebrew. The original writings were in Hebrew. They spoke in Hebrew. Even the approach, the way that the transliteration and translation into Greek and then into English, it's mistransliteration. The original New Testament was written in Hebrew, but that's not for me to get into right now. We'll get into that on some later shows. We're getting ready to embark upon maybe a 10-part series, this being part one, and the other ones will be noted as such. But this particular series will be the first one where I put down the book of Maccabees, and we were going to do a study on the Maccabeus Revolt, the Maccabean Revolt, and how that started, because that was a period after Malachi and before Matthew, and there was some key things in the book of Maccabees that I wanted to bring out. But upon studying the book of Maccabees, which is a part of the Apocrypha, which means hidden books, not lost books, hidden books, Catholic Church and Protestant Church decide to take them away from you while they still use them and have them locked in their vaults, because they're loaded with information that will empower you and enlighten you as a people of the Most High. So it's up to you to study them, but you've been told that these books are demonized and to stay away from them. And you listen and stay away from them, therefore you stay blind. But he that has an ear to hear, let him hear. So as I was saying that, as I began to do a study on Maccabees, which I wanted to present, and I thought it would be a three-part lesson every Saturday, I began to dig deep into history, and which tied into some mythology and some things that took place in Rome and in Greece and with Persia. And you see fragments of these things being told in these movies known as science fiction, movies like Clash of the Titans, 300, and nobody knows where the premise for some of these movies come from. And you find out that it's a part of Bible history, and it's buried deep in the book of Daniels and Nehemiah and Chronicles and the Tanakh and your prophets, and you have to piece these scriptures together to better understand it. But the reason most of us don't understand it is because I know they teach this in those cemetery schools, seminary, some of you call them, the Hegelian method of preaching and understanding the scriptures, to understand contextually and to stay within the framework. But scripture tells us that line must be upon line, meaning that you grab a line. Well, let me say the whole scripture. It says line upon line, precept upon precept, a little here, a little there. So you need to be able to move throughout the scriptures to confirm the scriptures and to affirm certain aspects of the scriptures in different places. And I know seminary teaches against that, when scripture actually tells you this is how you understand that God speaks in harmony to all of his prophets and his people, and he confirms it in the mouth of two or three witnesses. And then when you, as I was saying, I began to study this time period, what I want to do is debunk the lie, the myth, that there was 400 years of silence between the New Testament and the Old Testament. That is so untrue. And then there's things that there's questions that people have when it comes to the New Testament as to who were the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the scribes and the zealots and people like this, and why were these people so anxious to put Christ to death, our Savior? And how did we have these different sects and these different rulers, and how did it tie into such a political landscape that they were able to come before Herod with accusations and demand that people be released or hanged? And how did all of this come about, and what happened to the temple, Jerusalem, in 70 A.D.? And who defeated all these other kingdoms and these different wars that took place with the Medes, the Persians, and Egypt? And what happened to Egypt after Moses? These are questions we're going to begin to answer and cover this 400-year period and the Maccabean Revolt, a book, the Maccabees, that a good friend of mine from Jamaica told me this book was forbidden for them to read in Jamaica during period because of the Maccabean Revolt, showing how they reformed the country and brought back the Sabbath. and the commandments and laws and statutes of the Father because of King Antiochus, who was incessant on defiling the temple, defiling the Sabbath, and bringing in false worship. You also find in the book of Maccabees, which we're going to cover, is that he also had demanded that all of the images be changed. That means the statues that showed that the rulers and the prophets and certain people were all people of color. He had the images all changed by artists such as Leonardo da Vinci and Michelangelo. These people came and changed our images and changed the depiction and the way they were perceived. We still have this today through a medium called movies that brainwash our people and further subliminally compact lies into our psyche to believe this is how it was, this is how it is. And it's a brainwashing that takes place with people that further pushes us and recedes us into the lies that are all around us. And your fathers have taught you lies. And there is a shaking going on in the tree where people are beginning to wake up. And it's important that you come out of your normalcy and your blindness, and realize that you have on rose-colored shades. So even though the sun is shining, your brain is perceiving a totally different color, totally different atmosphere, totally different landscape. So these are the things that we're going to begin to cover, and I want to start today, and I've been relegated to a 30-minute show for just a little while. Maybe for a month or so. So I'm going to end up doing some of this teaching on Wednesdays and on Saturdays to cover this information, because it is a plethora of information, because there was not silence. There was a lot of battling, wars, restructuring of kingdoms, countries, and the development of a landscape for the introduction of a Savior, Yahushua HaMashiach, the Christ, the one you know as Jesus Christ. All of the landscape was being developed, prepared. Things were being put in order, and you had a people fighting to maintain something that was sacred to them, the laws, the commandments, and the Sabbath. And so we're going to begin to cover that, and through doing this, we'll be able to piece together history with the Word, further validating and affirming the legitimacy of the Word of the Father, the Scriptures, the Holy Scriptures, that when compiled later became the Bible, but which is the history book of a sojourn of a people, the Hebrew people, that are scattered amongst the four corners of the earth, that Christ is going to gather back together once again. So, as we prepare to begin, we'll begin the series, and let me see how much time we have left. We actually have 10 minutes left to begin part one of the series. And as I mentioned, we will go more into the book of Maccabees once we've covered some of the history of this time period. The first thing I want to talk about as far as the time period of the history is chronologically, let's take a look at something. Date B.C., 612 B.C., we have Nineveh being destroyed by the Medes, which are the Babylonians. And during 587, we have Jerusalem destroyed by King Nebuchadnezzar. And B.C., 559 B.C., we have Cyrus inherits kingdom of Anshan, beginning, and this was the beginning of the Persian Empire, 559 B.C. 539 B.C., Babylon falls to Cyrus, and it's the end of Neo-Babylonian Empire. And then in between 530 522, Cambyses succeeds Cyrus, and this was the conquest of Egypt. These important dates, you want to write this down. In between 522 and 486, we have Darius I. He was the ruler of the Persian Empire. And it's very important. important to note, brothers and sisters, that you have demonic influence moving over these empires. You have to study the book of Daniel when you see that Daniel prayed and he couldn't get the answer through. For the prince of Persia, which was a demonic entity spirit, which lorded over that region, had blocked the angel from coming with the answer, and that angel had to call for assistance from Michael, the archangel, just to fight to get through, to give Daniel the answer. And the father told him, I answered your prayer the first day, but there was a war in the heavenlies. So when you look at all these empires that we're going to be covering, you have to remember that there are principalities, fallen angels, demonic entities and spirits that ruled and reigned over that region to control the people and to introduce false worship. Let me go back into 515 BC. We have the second temple, which was completed by the Jews. And 486 through 465 was the time of the Xerxes. A lot of you remember that, I guess, from 300. He attempts the conquest of Greece, the time of Esther. The time of Esther. 480 BC, we have the Greek naval victory at Salamis, where Xerxes flees. And 464 to 424, we have Artaxerxes the First ruling Persia. And just this was the age of Nehemiah. As you get into 334 to 323 BC, introduction of Alexander of Macedon, who conquers the East. There's a lot of, we will probably get into some of this, but Alexander the Great was worshipped and conquered a lot of territory. And there is a lot of history that leads us to believe that Alexander the Great was Apollyon, or as we said in Hebrew, Abaddon, which was a Nephilim, a child of a false god, and he did bring in a Hellenistic period. We'll cover that shortly because we're going to start with him, and we only have a few minutes. But he brought in a Hellenistic period, which was the worship of Greek gods and fallen entities that these people lifted up. 311 BC, we have Seleucus, who conquers Babylon, beginning of the Seleucid dynasty. From 223 to 187 BC, we have Antiochus III, the Great, Seleucid, ruler of Syria. Let's see, 198 BC, we have Antiochus III. He defeats Egypt and gains control of Palestine. 175 to 163, we have Antiochus the Fourth of Epiphanes. He was the ruler of Syria, and Judaism is proscribed. 167 is BC is when we have the introduction of Mattathias and his sons as they rebelled against Antiochus, and this is the beginning of the Maccabean revolt we just got through talking about. And from 166 to 160 BC, we have Judah, the Maccabean leadership. From 160 to 42, we have Jonathan, who is his high priest, and 142 to 135 BC, Simon is high priest and founds the Hasmonean dynasty. From 134 to 104, we have John Hyrcanus, who expands the holdings of independent Jewish state. And from 103 BC, we have Aristobulus. That was his rule. And then from 102 to 76, we have Alexander Janneus, that rule. And from 75 to 67 BC, Salome Alexandra rules Hyrcanus II, who was the high priest. From 66 to 63 BC, we have the dynastic battle of Aristobulus II and Hyrcanus II. From 63 BC, Pompey invades Palestine. Roman rule begins there, 63 BC before Christ. From 63 to 40, we have Hyrcanus II. He rules, and he's subject to Rome. And that's where you begin to notice an increase in power for Rome. From 40 to 37 BC, the Parthians conquer Jerusalem and establish Aristobulus II as high priest and king. And then from 37 to 4, we have, of course, Herod the Great. King Herod, son of Antipater, rules as king subject to Rome. Remember, Herod was the one that put out that he wanted the firstborn males to be killed because of the talk of a Savior, Christ, coming on the landscape. This alone begins to debunk this myth, this theory that there was 400 years of silence between the Old Testament and New Testament. Here we have so much history of what transpired as a landscape was beginning to be set. Let's see. With these next 4 minutes, I'm going to give another some more foundation as we build a substratum to get into a study of the history between the two Testaments. The 400 years between the prophecy of Malachi and the advent of Christ are frequently described as silent, but they were in fact crowded with activity. Although no inspired prophet arose in Israel during those centuries, now this is why most people want to say it was silence, because of no inspired prophet. The Old Testament was regarded as complete. Events took place which gave to latter Judaism its distinctive ideology and providentially prepared the way for the coming of Christ and the proclamation of the gospel. The Jews fared well under Persian rule. Cyrus had given them permission to return to Jerusalem and rebuild their temple. And although they met opposition from the inhabitants of Palestine, it was dedicated during the reign of Darius the Great. Ezra the scribe and Nehemiah the layman sought to strengthen the Palestinian Jewish community and encouraged their loyalty to the law of God for about a century and a half after Nehemiah's time. The Persian Empire exercised control over Judea, and the Jews were permitted to observe their religious institutions without interference. Judea was ruled by high priests who were responsible to the Persian government, a fact which ensured the Jews a large measure of autonomy. At the same time, however, it made a political office of the priesthood and sowed the seeds of future trouble. Contests for the office of high priest were marked by jealousy, intrigue, and even murder. Jonathan, the son of Jehoiada, which is found in Nehemiah 12 and 22, is reported to have slain his brother Joshua within the temple precincts. Johanan was succeeded as high priest by his brother Jadua, whose brother Manasseh, according to Josephus, married the daughter of Sanballat, governor of Samaria. So we see how a lot of the priesthood began to become political offices in different sects, where even today we have the corruption of politics and mixing it with religion and wondering, like, who's running for president? Well, what's their religious background? Are they Catholic? Are they Mormon? Are they Baptist? Are they Christian? Who's Obama's pastor? This all dates all back to this period, and we see the landscape being set. It was at this time that a Samaritan temple was built on Mount Gerizim, which, rather than Zion, was regarded as sacred by the Samaritan community. The sanctuary on Mount Gerizim was destroyed by the Hasmonean ruler John Hyrcanus, but the mount itself continues to this day to be regarded as sacred by the Samaritans. The woman of Samaria wished to dispute with Christ concerning the merits of the rival holy place, but the Savior chose to emphasize the spiritual attitude of the worshiper rather than the place of worship. The Sanballat of Josephus cannot have been the same individual as the man of the same name mentioned by Nehemiah. Josephus does, however, appear to reflect a valid tradition, for a temple seems definitely to have been built on Mount Gerizim about this time. Persia's failure to conquer Greece encouraged subject people to seek their independence. Egypt was constantly attempting to throw off the Persian yoke, and Judea, geographically between the two powers, could not escape involvement during the reign of Artaxerxes III. Well, this is just a foundation of more of the things that we're going to get into to talk about the 400 years between the Old Testament and New Testament. And this is V the Preacher. We're here to give you information and to empower you and to strengthen our people, for we love you that much as we love our Savior. Love is not wimpy. Love corrects you and puts you on the right path. So as we say here, that the only sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already have it, for truth is a journey, not a destination. So when you come to the conversation, be prepared to take up your anchor so that you can sail away into the knowledge that is freedom. Shalom.